Blog Talk Radio.
We want to have, as part of the gun initiative, though, an informational campaign to really change the hearts and minds of people in Washington, D.C., and in particular our young people. They are saturated in the media and in entertainment, or by the entertainment industry, with violence. And I think too many of our young people, in particular our young men, are fascinated with violence and in particular fascinated with guns. And what we need to do is change the way in which people think about guns, especially young people, and make it something that's not cool, that it's not acceptable, it's not hip to carry a gun anymore. In the way in which we've changed our attitudes about cigarettes, you know, when I was growing up, people smoked all the time. I mean, both my parents did. But over time, we changed the way in which people thought about smoking, and so now we have people who cower outside of buildings and kind of smoke in private and don't want to admit it. And that's what I think we need to do with guns, really change the way in which people think about that, think about guns. Now, this is not going to be something that's very easy to do, because we are, quite frankly, fighting something that appears, you know, every day on television, on the radio, in our popular music, in movies that these kids are exposed to. It will be an effort that will entail things that I'm really not familiar with. I think I'm a pretty good lawyer, but we need to get really innovative, creative things that are going to grab the attention of these kids and change, as I said, the way in which they think about guns. And so what I've asked is that the creative community in Washington, those ad agencies that create these snappy ads and make me buy things that I don't really need, devote that talent in a more constructive way so we can get at the minds of these young people. This informational campaign, I've also called on the newspapers and the television stations to devote to us time and space so that we can get these ads, so we can use these spots, and not to give us 1, 2 o'clock in the morning ads when nobody's watching, but at the time when people, particularly young people, are watching television, so that when they're watching, you know, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or Martin or whatever else they watch, and yeah, I watch those things once in a while, so that they'll see these ads and they'll be grabbed by these ads. I've also asked people who have influence over youngsters, entertainers, athletes, to be involved in this program as well, but not only them, community leaders. Jesse Jackson, Mayor Barry, people who have credibility with young people should be on the television, on the radio, as much as we possibly can, and telling these youngsters that it's wrong to carry a gun, and that if you have information about people who are carrying guns, you've got to share that with Chief Thomas and with his people as well. I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message. Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way. We also want to have a hotline that we will set up and have the number of that hotline that would just go out there, and that would be something that people would have emblazoned in their minds so that when they see a gun or become familiar about the facts of a gun crime, they would call that hotline and pass that information on.
Good evening. We are live. That was none other than Eric Holder, the head of DOJ during, and I hate to say administration, but when Barry Hussein Satoru was playing commander-in-chief, he headed up the DOJ and was responsible for Fast and Furious, where Border Patrol agent was murdered with our guns that we were selling to the cartel. And it's still very haunting today because justice has not been served. And who knows if it will ever be served. Look at the political prisoners from January 6th. They're still being held. And for what? Because they entered their own property? That belongs to we, the people. We paid for it. So how they can hold these people as prisoners because they entered a building that they paid for is beyond me. Joining me tonight is my lovely co-host, James Sanders. Good evening, James. How are you?
Hey, Eva. Doing pretty good. How about you?
A wonderful, a wonderful, a wonderful. Groovy. Just allergies.
One thing to add to your intro there with the whole cartel stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, and look at what that's done with the cartel control of Mexico at this point in time and the massive migration we got coming from down there. So great job there, Barry Bonehead.
And for those that are curious to know who I'm speaking of when I say Barry Hussein Sartorio, which is his given name, is Barack Obama. And he is guilty. This is, I'm just so dumbfounded, James, as to all the happenings of today and yesterday, because this is, how did we get to this point is what I am just, I'm dumbfounded. I believe that we are living in a dumbed-down society, and it's on purpose. But people, first and foremost, you have to turn off the boob tube, okay? Turn off those television programming boxes. That they call it programming for that very reason, because it is to program you.
You know how a lot of people out there today are saying about, you know, the schools are just indoctrination centers? Well, there you go. Program.
Your home. The thing that is in your living room, your TV, your bedrooms, your dining rooms. It's programming you people. And I
that
know
smartphone
people.
Smartphone in your hand.
Exactly. It is crazy, crazy, crazy.
We'd be better off if people were better at discernment. At least then they'd know when they were reading bullshit. Or hearing it.
Very true. Very true. You know, bullshit alert, bullshit alert, bullshit alert. It is,
yes, on a daily basis as I'm doing things.
It's
my
crazy
bullshit
what
sensors are tingling.
It is crazy what people believe. You know, they're buying all this crap that's coming out of Zelensky's mouth. Oh my gosh, lie after lie after lie. Now he's saying that if you go along with the new Green New Deal, that will end the war quicker. It's like, really? And people are believing this stuff. Remember when a few years ago, when everybody was laughing at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, when she was talking about the Green New Deal, and Senator Mike Lee actually has a really hilarious take on it all, and I'm really surprised that it's still up on YouTube, but I watched it the other day for shits and giggles, and it was epic. But all this stuff, the electric cars, and everything, the Green New Deal is getting pushed through, regardless of what people did not want a few years ago. They're slipping
in. And where do most of those components come from? Except for, like, the windmills. But all the other stuff, the solar panels, the electric cars, where do the components for that stuff come from? China?
Yeah, exactly.
Afghanistan, with China's now involvement in Afghanistan because of Biden's regime, surrendering, basically.
Let's just break down the electric car, okay? And, okay, so you have an electric car. the battery goes bad, and you have to replace it if you want to continue to use your electric car. Where is that battery getting disposed of? They can't even dispose of the batteries properly. So,
well, what about the cost? You almost might as well just go buy another car.
Exactly. But they're pushing this electric, and people are buying into it, hook, line, and sinker again.
Charges that car battery? Fossil fuels.
Exactly. Common sense tells you. You know, common sense has gone totally, completely out the window. It no longer exists. People can't think for themselves. You know, they have to have the television set thinking for them, basing everything on lies, their own decisions in life. And it's heartbreaking to me. Heartbreaking. Heartbreaking to see people that I know that are buying into the BS too. And then it's like, whoa, pull back on those reins, people. Common sense tells you.
Ignorance is bliss.
Man, oh man, it just is. I'm just dumbfounded. Electric cars, okay. If the power grid goes out, we have EMP. Those electric cars are no good. Well, the majority of cars are no good at that point in time anyhow. Okay? Every time you are driving your electric car and you're charging your phone in your car, you're also depleting the charge in your battery in your car.
Yeah, which most people with smartphones, they have the little, you know, cigarette lighter, at least that's what they were called in my day, that they plug their little devices into and charge them along the way.
Well, I know somebody that has a Tesla, and God bless that person. But, you know, they can't charge their freaking phone in their Tesla, because it depletes the battery. Then they'll have to go to the charging station and recharge their car. It just does not make sense. And again,
yeah, capacity,
like you said,
the capacity just isn't there. I mean, for short trips, anybody living in major cities maybe, but anybody in rural areas, forget
it. But again, okay, What if there is torrential rains and stuff like that? And you can't charge your car in these torrential rains. The charging stations are down because they're flooded out. There are so many negatives, more negatives than positives about these electric cars that people can't see the forest for the trees.
Well,
you know,
most of the ones that push them live in, you know, large population areas. And there's plenty of mass transportation available, but there's so many more areas that are rural in this country. How the hell are they going to make stuff like that work? I barely have mass transit where I'm at.
Right. But if you truly want to go green and help the environment, freaking do as the Amish do. Horse and buggy it.
Yeah, I was going to say get a horse. What?
You know, and it's not totally completely unheard of. There are some rural areas where you can still travel by a horse. It is just, but if you really are concerned about the environment. But as you said, too, James, it takes fossil fuel to run the generators or the charging stations. You know, for the electric cars.
Yeah, we have no way. Are there enough, you know, wind and solar farms? And of course, those two things. Again, the major downfall is, well, one only works when it's sunny, and the other one only works when it's windy. Now, yeah, there's hydroelectric, and we can do dams as well. But again, how many places can we put those? We have a few.
Oh, there's a lot of windmills in California. Okay, a lot of them. But
yeah, how many dead birds?
That's another thing. You got the dead birds. It's not all that great for the environment. Look at what happened in Texas. What was it last year when they had freezing snows, snowstorms, and their windmills froze all up.
Which, to be fair, down that way, I don't think they really see a lot of snow. So.
Okay, but was that God given, or was it courtesy a la HAARP?
I don't know. But all I'm saying in that would be why they didn't have like the package to, you know, de-ice them going
on.
I mean, it's just not something they get a lot of.
But allegedly, Texas has its own grid. So why did they not switch over to their own grid and use that energy source? That's my big question. Hey, Greg Abbott, if you're listening, give us a call, 319-527-1692. And please press 1, and I'll bring you into the studio. But this is, you know, this is, it's crazy, crazy, crazy. So the Green New Deal is passing. I don't care how they rename it, how many times they rename it, or what they rename it to. Just like the Great Reset. Come on. You're not fooling anybody. It's the New World Order. Agenda 21, 2030. Well, it's past 21, so it's Agenda 2030. And they're proceeding with pretty good, I would say, you know, because
okay.
You have these people that are dumbed down, that don't want to think for themselves. And it is,
there's people that have already, I mean, even occasional Cortex is 1-8 has come out and said about how this Green New Deal stuff really is not about energy. And if you look at the costs involved, no matter where you go with it, no matter what nation, the costs of implementation of this on their time scale and the way that they want to push it, you know, despite the fact that they've been predicting world end because of climate change, which used to be global warming, then it was something else. Now it's just climate change. They've not accurately predicted a single event since they started back in like the late 60s, early 70s. So it really is about bankrupting economies, because it is that costly to implement.
Well, yeah, and they want us all to be slaves, us as in we the people, not only of the United States, but of the world. This isn't just subjected to the United States. Why do you think they had the plandemic was worldwide?
Not to mention good old Greta was out there. And she wasn't just here in the good old USA talking about this stuff. She was jet-setting and yachting all over the damn world.
Exactly. And it's like, feel sorry for the autistic girl. oh my gosh. You know, and she's part of the young global leaders. They all are. I mean, look at it. Dan Crenshaw is part of it. Maria Bartiromo is part of it. Macron is part of it. Castro's son is part of it. What is his name? The one in Canada, Justin Trudeau.
Yeah, Trudeau.
You know, they're all part of it.
Good old Klaus's college buddies.
Yeah, Klaus Schwab is he flat out said, you are going to have nothing and you are going to like it. He said that.
And that is Marxist ideology straight out of the Marxist Communist Manifesto right from the start.
It is, if people, you have to, as I state the majority of the time on my show, don't believe what I'm saying. Don't believe what James is saying. You have the internet at your disposal. You have the internet at your disposal if you have a cell phone. You know, you have access to this information also. Stop watching friggin'.
And if you don't have the time or you're too damn lazy to go find it yourself, find somebody else that's writing about it that sources it. And you can go read it for yourself.
Exactly. You know, there are, just don't follow the mainstream media. Fox is not your friend. Okay? Fox and Friend is not your friend. Fox is in on it too. You know, and Jesse Waters and even Tucker, you know, they are under somebody's control. Fox controls them. So don't believe that they are your friends either. You have to find independent news sources.
When you threaten somebody's ability to provide for themselves and their family through loss of work, it's a pretty good motivating factor.
And then, goodness gracious, look at what Disney is doing right now. Flat out, I love Ron DeSantis, okay? Ron DeSantis, call me, 555-555-5555. My phone is always open to you. I love the man. I love what he is doing for Florida. I think that he would be an excellent president. I just adore him. This bill that he passed, it's not called the anti-gay bill, okay? Not one word in that whole bill has the word gay in it. But
it's
an
anti-grooming bill.
Exactly. But you have all those, Hollywood parasites that are at the Oscars. They were like, oh, and we're proud to say gay, 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 gay. And they took something of non-existence and made something out of that, out of something that didn't exist. They lie.
That's called Marxist sin. That is called creative straw man to attack.
You have Ron Perlman, who is, come on, dude played friggin' Hellboy. get a real job. And
he was kind of cool in Blade, but I don't like him anymore with the way he is of late.
But he, you know, these people are here to entertain us. That's it. They aren't here to give their political advice, tell us how to vote or anything like that. They are here to entertain us. Without our monies, they would be nothing. Absolutely.
I got a question for you.
What's that?
I got a question for you. Is it just me, or do you find it kind of ironic and strange that we have good old Ketanji Brown Jackson and her pedophilia issues, and at the same point in time, we wind up with Disney again wanting to help normalize pedophilia and grooming?
Okay, this it's all planned, all part of the plan. She will be confirmed too. She will be.
Well, thanks to good old Romney, Collins, and Murkowski, probably.
She will be confirmed, and but it's I mean, really, she's no worse than John Roberts. He's a pedophile too. He made a few trips to Pedo Island.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Amy Comey Barrett. I mean, I have to question her loyalty and her morals and values too. Just because one person says that they are Christian doesn't necessarily make them Christ-like.
Well, I mean, come on. Different ones on the left are saying they're unicorns. They're obviously not.
Oh, they are too, James. Come on. What are you, high? It's just bizarre to me. You have, and then Brett Kavanaugh, they're all posers.
Yeah,
they
I'm
all
not happy
played
with Comey or Kavanaugh.
They all played a role in what is happening today. Why do you think they did not pursue the fraudulent voting in 2020? Why do you think the Supreme Court just poo-pooed it? Because it's all part of the plan. All part of the plan. And they're big players in this plan.
Hey, you know, Rig just came out today. Don't know if you heard about it.
It what did?
Rigged 2020.
But James, think about it. Nothing is going to happen. They aren't going to take back Biden in office. Nothing is going to change. Okay, but we have to be thankful that Heels Up Harris, Kamala, cannot be president, even though she's on paper as being vice president. She can't be president because she's an anchor baby. Neither one of her parents were U.S. citizens when she was born. So, and that is that's a fact. But unfortunately, the way that the system works, they could try and pass her through as being president, just like they did Barry Hussein Sotoro, not a U.S. citizen, was not born here,
and then claim precedence because it's already happened once.
Exactly. So, and he was. And if you want to take it back, you have to take it back all the way to 2008, and Ron Paul is our president. And everything after 2008 is null and void as far as presidency. That's what they would have to actually do. And if we the people were smart, then we would demand it.
Well, that's the only problem. So many people have no idea exactly what's going on. So a lot of them don't even know where the hell to start or what really needs to be done to change the way things are.
Which is true, okay? You are 100% correct. And why? Because we have lack of leadership. We definitely have lack of leadership. Look at all the rhinos that have led their flock astray. You know, Lindsay Chick named Graham is a perfect example. He said it outright. He told us. He told the world that Joe Biden was his friend and he was not going to charge him with anything. He told us that.
He's a lot like Mittens Romney. They go the direction that the political winds blow.
Because they're peas in a pod. They're all in it. They're all swamp dwellers. Like Bill Barr. I never ever liked Bill Barr. You know, go back to Waco with Bill Barr if you want to. And people, if you aren't familiar
was it Waco or Ruby Ridge? Or was it both?
I thought it was Waco. There's a difference between thinking and knowing. So, if you want to
check. Definitely one of the two. Definitely one.
Yeah, but, Bill Barr, he sucks up to Trump, and that FF, insert your own names for that, he was just, he swims side by side with the parasites in the swamp.
And didn't do his job.
No, he did do his job. He did his job, and he did it finally, And people were like, oh, yeah, he's going to nail him. He's going to nail him. He's going to nail him. It's like nothing to see here. The case closed. You know, what's going on with John Durham right now? What the heck is going on? I mean, I see some fishes that are going to jail and stuff being prosecuted, but maybe that's how it has to play out. But
well, at least a good point on that one, the whole Sussman stuff, at least gives credibility to Trump's personal lawsuit.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Oh, yeah. Look at that. And you have Hillary Clinton, who is still roaming around free. That's if she didn't die, when it was announced that she was dead. I believe she did die. I think that this is her double that is leading her life now. And I saw pictures of four Hillarys, and none of them look like the original. And it's totally, completely ridiculous. It's ridiculous that we, the people of the world, have these lackadaisical ideology beliefs that are just, it's beyond me, James, beyond me. It breaks my heart to know that my father spent 30 years of his life in the military doing what he believed was right by the United States and we the people of, to have it all go in vain. For what? For what? Really, truly?
Evil never sleeps.
It is just, it's so heartbreaking. Then you have these freaking, these people are the minorities, okay? You have, oh gosh, there's only 1% of the people that are transgender, 1%. 3% are gay. So why are we pandering to these people? Less than 5% of the whole, and we are pandering and bending over backwards for these people. Disney,
and that's
look
if
at
you
what...
took all, and that's if you took all the LGBTQ alphabet, rest of it, and lumped them all together into that group. Maybe
for
5%
sure.
of the population. Maybe.
For sure, for sure, for sure. This is so, I sit here in disbelief every day. I read something new, and I just shake my head.
But you do realize, right, that one day the original meaning of transgender was somebody that was actually transitioning. A bunch of these ones just run around dressed like women. That's not transgender.
That's not.
Cross-dressing.
Exactly. Exactly.
And this is their play in the left's play on changing definitions of words. Again, creating equal confusion.
They are social misfits in this world. And they want attention. Why do you think they have, you know, they're so flamboyant in their dress, their, you know, their hairstyles and stuff like that. Now, don't get me wrong, because I used to have purple hair, but it was like a dark purple. It wasn't
okay,
like a bright
my
purple.
My wife just reminded me, you know, take, for example, Leah Thomas.
Yeah.
Supposedly dressing like a female, but you do realize... good old Thomas still likes women.
As I said, you know, it is a joke. He could not compete a man. He came when he was swimming in the men's division. He was ranked 492 or something like that. Almost 500. He was placed. And so, of course, inadequate, okay? He was a swimming misfit. So what did he do? He transitioned over to the women's, knowing that, my goodness gracious, how tall is the guy? He's like 6'2", in between 6 foot and 6'4". He's a big guy. And
still has his male biological parts. That's
it,
not transgender.
Of course he does. Of course. It is crazy. But then everybody, you know, there's so many people that are buying it hook, line, and sinker. It's like he did not win in the women's division. He did not. In fact, he's null and void. For the mere fact he is a male, cannot participate in, just because they let him participate does not mean that he actually participated in this sport. And where are the feminists?
And how is this not an attack on women? Isn't that what they always scream about, and the feminists as well? How is this not an attack on women?
Exactly. Where are you, women? Why aren't you sticking up for women's sports? You know, here this poor girl who actually placed first because, I mean, even Ron DeSantis placed her first. He declared her as the winner. And by all rights, she did win because still has his dude parts.
His junk.
And, you know, and he likes women. What is he? You know, this, it's so freaking ass crazy to me. So what is he? He's a transgender lesbian?
Again, trans. No breasts yet. Still has his junk. That's not transitioning to anything. That is
I know.
A cross-dresser, a predator, and an opportunist.
Exactly.
Because he could not cut it as a male athlete. He uses this as excuse. Period.
Exactly.
And when you're going to, you know, how about his female teammates knowing that he still likes women and they're supposed to shower with him? And he's just, you know, flopping in the breeze.
And parents, shame on you for not being vocal about this. I mean, really, all of you parents should get together in a group, squeaky wheel gets the grease, and make some noise. This will cease and desist you counteract their actions.
Just like you're doing with the school board stuff. Same thing.
Exactly. You have to be proactive in your child's education. You have to be proactive in all medical, whether it pertains to you and or your children. You have to be proactive. You have to get involved. You have to make these, you know, and yeah. Because it is all out of design, you know. It's designed, society is designed where you have to have a double income. So both parents have to work. And what about both parents being in the home? The majority of these kukulas are coming from broken homes where the father is not present. And I'm not bagging on the men, okay? So don't get me wrong. It's that a lot of these women choose to have children when they are not wed or they end up getting divorced.
Oh, but to be fair, as a man, there are plenty of players out there that shirk the responsibility as well.
Sure, there are. Okay, it takes two to actually work at a marriage, at a relationship. All responsibility should not fall upon one person. But if you want it to really work, then you are going to have to strive and make it work.
And that includes making sure you know the one that you're going to sleep with and maybe the one before you marry them.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, let me emphasize that abortion is not a means of control. They are just,
Planned Parenthood, it's just a way to fund the Democrat machine.
Exactly.
Sale of body parts is a very lucrative business.
For sure. There's a picture floating around I forgot the name of the site, but it's showing a bunch of full term, oh gosh, okay. I got to collect myself here. Full term boarded babies. Full term. This is acceptable?
The police in that situation are trying to say that there's no crime. No autopsies have been done.
This is acceptable? It's murder. It is murder. But it's okay to just willy-nilly and be alley cat and not take any kind of precautions to prevent the pregnancy. And yeah, another form of birth control is abortion. Again, being facetious, it's not a form of birth control. It's just a form of murder.
True evil is convincing a mother to kill her own child.
Yeah, and they do it on a daily. A daily they do it. It just is, it's beyond me. You know, they've taken God out of everything. Just like when this plan scamdemic started. What the heck did they, excuse me, what the heck was one of the first places that they closed was churches. Why? So that we could not get together and worship our Creator, our Father God.
And then bars, so that we couldn't plan to overthrow them.
You know, it is just, it's a sin. And then you had even pastors that are going along with the plan scamdemic. Now you can't worship unless you wear a mask. Well, I'm not going to play into or play these reindeer games of you know, their sacrifices, their sacrificial rituals. And a lot of pastors are in on this too. They're called crisis pastors. And they are run by the government. You have to be very, very careful of them, people. You have to be very careful of them. Because who do you believe that you can trust during a crisis? Your pastor. You go to him, you spill your guts about everything. Why? Because he's your pastor. He's in on it too. You have to be very, very, very careful. This is, you know.
I'm false prophet is false doctrine.
That's right. That's right. Your teachers, look at the teachers union. Oh my goodness gracious. If you are going to send your children to those indoctrination centers, you have to be involved. You have to make the time. I don't care if you worked 12 hours that day. If the meeting is at 6 p.m. and you are off work, you make your way, you drag your tired ass down to that school board meeting. Make your presence known. I'm sorry?
Those are a must. If you truly want to know what's going on, at least have some degree of knowledge what is going on in your child's school. You need to observe. And the only way to observe is to be present at those meetings.
You know, when they were doing the Zoom school, parents were told not to be present during the Zoom classes. Why? Okay. When somebody tells
me that, somebody tell me that, that's the first thing I'm going to be doing because it's like, wait, what? Huh? That's my kid.
Exactly.
What's going on here? I want to know.
Exactly. You see that sign that says do not touch? I'm the first one to touch. I'm the rule breaker. And
yelled,
it would be...
You yelled in the library too, didn't you?
I'm my own person, James, okay? but people, come on. Why in the heck would you... Two people came to me and told me that because they were responsible for the education of the little ones. And they said that they were not allowed to be in the room while during the Zoom class. And it's like, bullshit. I set up a freaking camera and a tripod and record it all. And I told these two people, I said, you are batshit crazy if you're not going to listen in on what's going on.
And that's exactly why they did it, because look at what we've learned from the parents that did and did record some of it. Now we know games they are playing with our kids.
For sure. And oh my gosh, do you not care what is happening to your children? Let's get back on Disney for a minute. You have this spokesperson for Disney who, you know, James, another thing that I will never, ever catch on to, why? Because it's total, complete nonsense, is like this, all these names for this, okay? She has one kid who is transitioning. They're both males, okay, her kids. One is transitioning, and one is a pansexual. I'm not going to friggin' look up pansexual because
they really love them pots and pans, you know.
or maybe because it has something to do with Peter Pan, wink, wink.
Like Eddie Murphy once said, this dude come to my house, the fish stops swimming.
But, you know, I'm not buying into the reindeer games, okay? I'm not going to play the reindeer games and give into them. But she's going, you know, and then only part of our, it was brought to my attention that only a portion of our cast members are LGBTQXYZ. And she goes, well, we're going to have to change that. You know, so they're only hiring, discriminating, okay? So Disney is open up to a big old huge lawsuit. And that's another thing that Ron DeSantis is stopping, is he's taking back, I forget what year it was, but Florida had given basically Disneyland carte blanche, or Disney World carte blanche in making decisions about operating. And so...
They're basically like D.C., like the District of Columbia. They're their own little nation state.
Exactly. But now he's going to repeal that and take it back from them, which as governor, he has the right. And you only have just a handful of people are against him. Okay, there are so many families that are thanking him for the bill that he just signed and for taking this away from Disneyland.
Another interesting bit of Disney factoids. Do you know that ever since 2012, there hasn't been a single year that at least some member of Disney has not been accused of pedophile and child crime type issues?
Exactly.
It's not been a year since 2012.
Yes.
So with the rest of it, too, this woman wants to pump that, you know, LGBTQXWIA number to 50%. So then what does that do with children watching Disney films? It makes them think that, like, half the population is like that.
Right.
It's just a bunch of extra things for a kid to figure out. You know, what was your biggest thing growing up? You know, trying to figure out who you are, what you want to be. Okay,
well,
so,
let's
just confuse the kids with all this shit, too.
Right. Right. I was going to be a nun, actually.
Oh, hell. Cowboy, fighter pilot, firefighter. I went through a few.
Well, I went to Catholic school. I was a parochial kid. And...
A Pinocchio kid? What was that?
Parochial. So I wanted to be a nun for, I don't know, I think I was probably just like in first grade that I wanted to be a nun. And when we played, we had this big old huge strawberry field behind our house, so we used to play like army and stuff in there, and I didn't want to be one of those nurses. Okay, I always wanted to be a soldier, and our grenades were the dirt clods, and these were like real freaking.
If you were growing up today, you know they'd be trying to put a penis on you, right? Lucky for you.
Which is true, okay? But, you know, of course, I grew out of it. I still played with Barbies, though, also. I mean, I had Midge. I had Skipper. Of course, I had a million Barbies. I had the Dream House. I had the car. I had everything, okay? So I had the best of all worlds growing up. It was great to grow up when I did. You know, we had the coolest toys too. Had a real iron that it was a children's iron, but it actually plugged in and got hot. Had one of those. Had this. I played with this toy for years and years and years. It was called Incredible Edibles, and so you have these die-cast molds. And you'd pour all this goo into it, and it made like gummy bears, and but these were like spiders and stuff like that. And then of course I had the Easy Bake Oven, and I just ate
mud pies.
I ate mud pies too. Of course you did, but it was great being a kid growing up. I look at the kids today, and nobody plays outside. And if they do, they're just a bunch of brats, hoodlums, and it's just a very sad, sad world. You know, I used to make my kids go outside and play. You can't stay in the house during the day. Go outside and play. Be a kid.
Well, if I was a kid growing up today, I'd probably just sit there and twitch.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. No, if I had to do it over again today, all electronics would be out of my house. I wouldn't even have electronics. You know, maybe my cell phone, and that would be about it. I wouldn't even be doing the show, most likely.
I don't know. I like my electronics partly because over 20 years of reading and investigating, I've gotten pretty good at discernment. So I know where to look. And at least for me, the research and stuff, I can back up what I say. And I think there's, I mean, it has its benefits, but, you know, it's a tool. It all depends on how people use it.
Well, you know what? Thinking about it, maybe I would be involved. I'd probably be involved more because I would be that parent that, because I was that parent when my children were growing up, that if I saw something that I disagreed with, I went straight to the school board. I didn't fiddle around with, you know, lower management. I went straight to
counselors,
management, and you know, it's like you either do it my way, which is the correct way, and I wasn't, you know, I wasn't cheating the system or getting something that my kids didn't deserve or anything like that. It was all, you know, legitimate stuff that I went for. And but some person that is working at a school is not going to tell me what my child is going to do and what they believe is required of my child when I know the difference. It's like, yeah, you say that, but it's not going to happen your way. So straight to the school board.
And
this
that's
is
the thing
what,
that always bothered me, even when, you know, my three were growing up. You know, it's like somebody else, you know, no children, they think they can tell you what to do as a parent, and it's like,
right.
Yeah, wait a minute. Well, and if this child goes out and does something wrong today, whose butt is going to be in a sling because of it? It ain't going
right.
to be you. It ain't necessarily going to be the child. It's going to be me. So as long as I've got that responsibility, no, what I say goes.
You know, this is another thing that parents, you just don't realize how much power you have. You have all the power. You just have to utilize it.
Well, if they're paying attention with the stuff that different parent groups are doing at the school boards today, they ought to know now.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You have to get involved. You have to know what is going on. Because each student that goes into a public classroom, the school gets and the district gets X amount of money for that child. Okay, from the government, from the state. And if you threaten to take your child out of that system, it puts a kibosh into their plan. And they don't like that. So you have them over a barrel.
But that's when they use the teachers' unions in order
and,
to try to end runs around parents.
Yeah, that's another thing. But, James, you want to catch up? Well, we want to catch up on, you know, last week's show. And I do want to apologize. I still didn't go over all the notes that I wanted to go over from last week. But
because I probably talked too much. It's my fault.
Yeah, you. Of course, it's your fault. Come on, Jim. What a guy! What a guy! What a guy!
I got broad shoulders. Bring it on, baby.
I like that. He cops blame for something that is not his, and he's covering my ass. Thank you.
Well,
I appreciate that, James.
I like you, and you're my friend, so, you know, it's all good.
Aw. You know, James and I go back. James and I have, well, I first of all
hey, don't
started.
Don't be giving my age away now.
We Well, I started Facebook back in, I was a late bloomer, 2009. And James was one of my first Facebook friends. So we haven't physically met, but we have been verbal with each other for all these years, and it's like, oh my gosh, James, it's been a long time. It's been a minute. we've known each other, and I want to thank you for your friendship and for helping me out with the show and being a part of the network. And I really can't wait until you are back with us on a full-time basis. And I know you have some personal things that are going on.
Spending that time to try to be active in things at this point, because we badly need common sense, conservative people to get their asses off their couches and out of their living rooms into, town hall meetings, school board meetings, their local party. We need more people to push things. And
for
this
sure.
is the only way that we're going to change things.
And that's a big plus. I don't know if you're familiar with Alex Stein. He did the parody of the vaccine. He did a little of his own song, a rap
is
song.
Is he the one that goes into like the school board meetings or the and the town hall meetings for his local government? Yeah,
exactly.
There's two of them that I've seen. I'm not sure which one you're talking about, but yeah, I've seen them. They're a blast.
The other one is Cassidy. Cassidy. He was on.
Yeah, I think
one
that has
You
small
Are
Baby. Oh.
He was on
Cassidy.
You Are Here Today. That's my fix is You Are Here with Elijah Schaefer and Sidney Watson. Let me pull that up.
He's
really
been on Real America's Voice. He's been on Real America's Voice too. A couple
and,
of the presenters have had him on.
Cassidy Campbell.
Yeah, yep.
So,
I'm not doing that. I'm not that creative.
But see, the whole thing is that they are making fun of the left and bringing up valid points as they are doing it. And
showing how ridiculous they are.
So many people believe that this is true. And for a small portion of it is true, okay, because they're speaking all truths. When Cassidy Campbell goes up there and he has his hair dyed blue and yellow.
Yeah, rainbow.
It was for Ukraine.
Spike collar.
But it's the point. It's the principle. I mean, not the principle, but it's the point behind what they are saying. If you listen to their words carefully, they're speaking nothing but truth, but also adding a huge part of humor into it. And Alex Stein is just, oh my gosh.
They know one another. They're actually
they do.
Kind of working
they
together
do.
On
actually,
yep.
Alex Stein invited Cassidy with him to his first meet. Well, not Alex's first meeting, but he invited him to a meeting, and that's how Cassidy Campbell kind of blossomed from there. I mean, he did YouTube before, okay, but not to the degree that he is doing it now, because he's going to a lot of these meetings, these school board meetings, these town hall events and stuff like that. But people, you need to get involved. I mean, I've been to countless council meetings, and surprisingly enough, you're not going to get shot, okay? You will survive.
I carry to mine. I'm a regular. I carry to mine. They don't even say anything about it.
Excuse me. They're nerve-wracking because they're just talking a lot of nonsense. But
well, depending on where you're at. I don't get a lot of nonsense where I'm at, but my area is a lot more red than yours.
Do you remember, it was a viral video that went crazy, where a cop accosted a kid after school, and he pulled out his gun and fired off a shot. Well, there was more than just that kid there, and there were a lot of students. And I went to that board meeting, and I handed the district attorney, it had to have been almost 3 feet high, of signatures to prosecute that cop, because what it was Christian, I know the family, Christian was coming home from school, and they sat on a little wall that was next to the sidewalk. And so this guy comes out. And mind you, his father lives there. He does not live there. And he's LAPD, and he's in Orange County. And the house is in Orange County. And guy comes out, you know, Mr. Badass Rambo Renegade, and confronts Christian, and you know, starts yelling at him, and Christian proceeded to walk away, and the guy ended up accosting Christian, and Christian is trying to get away. Now all his fellow students, well, the majority of them from school, the school had let out, are coming to Christian's defense, and dude pulls out his gun, and it goes off. Thank God that it did not end up hitting a kid.
Okay, but for me, who has a concealed carry permit and have a weapon, matter of fact, right next to me and carry it all the time, that is a prime example of somebody that should not have a sidearm. And the reason
he's LAPD.
There is no way that gun discharged without his finger in the trigger.
Exactly.
Area.
Okay.
And you do not pull a sidearm with your finger in that area unless there is imminent threat and you need to use it. And the safety should have been on it. Mine only
right.
fits. And when I draw that gun out, I'm going to take it off for the day or whatever, my finger never goes in that trigger guard, ever.
Okay, I'm a little familiar with weaponry myself, okay? And the whole thing is that, you know, the cop, he was off duty. He was visiting at his dad's house. He did not have he was scared of these teenage kids, and that's still no excuse. He should have never, ever have drawn his weapon. And you are right. He had to have his finger on the trigger. Or wait, Wait, not according to Alec Baldwin, though. Okay, because
yeah,
guns I'll, just go off, okay, willy-nilly.
Clown.
And, it's so they were trying to prosecute this LAPD cop, you know, out of his jurisdiction, his day off, and he's unloading on a bunch of kids. And so at this board meeting, you know, I had this 3 foot high stack of signatures to prosecute this, and the freaking DA just did nothing, no prosecution whatsoever. And and Christian, straight A student, you know, he graduated, he ended up graduating with honors, and you know, not a bad kid. He was just unfortunately in the wrong place at the wrong time. And but who's to say that really? Because if a cop accosts me because I sit on a fence next to a sidewalk, you know, is it my fault? I mean, am I at the wrong place at the wrong time? It's just really unfortunate. But again, people, you need to get friggin' involved. And you have to, if you have a qualm against your Congress people, because they, you know, they do board meetings and stuff like that. You have to friggin' get involved. You have to call them out on this.
Or you call their office and you schedule an appointment. You go in and you have a sit down. As a citizen of this nation and you being a constituent, you have a right to have a conversation with your representative.
And because, you know, and if they don't take your call, it just falls under government shenanigans. And there's so many shenanigans that are out there, you know, and a lot of Congress people will ignore you, okay, and aren't in their district where they're supposed to be, like Maxine Waters. Oh, my gosh. Did you hear this, James?
Go home. Go home. What a flippin' nitwit.
So James heard it. Okay.
Uh-huh.
She is.
I wish she didn't. It's disgusting. It made my blood boil.
This is a congressperson, okay? And so.
No. That's a congress critter. That's a congress critter there.
Maxine Waters is talking to her homeless constituent. And. She's getting a little uppity. So she tells these homeless people to go home.
That's a real brainiac there, isn't it, people?
These are the people that make laws to enslave us. You better wake up, folks. You better get involved, because this is... We are dealing with a bunch of kooklas. I want to say something else.
We're with a bunch of nitwits and positions they don't belong.
And we, you know, whether it takes voting them out of office, which I think is going to be extremely hard. Now, because there has been so much voter shenanigans going on that they're just going to keep trying and keep doing, and I don't believe it's ever going to be like it's supposed to be.
Well,
and where?
In all honesty, with that, I told you the story of my involvement with our last election process. And
well,
the amount
tell,
of digging
share
I
it with people.
Get into the pro- what?
Share it with the people.
Well, because of all this crap in 2020, I was curious. And for me locally, I wanted to know the voting process and how things went down. But guess what? I drug my ass down to the local polling station to work the polls from 6 in the morning to 8 at night. I watched the process. I saw the machine. I saw how we do things there. Later on, close race where they did a vote recount. Guess who showed up to the vote recount? Again, watched the machine. Completed an entire report for my local county Republican Party, as I am now a member. And I can tell you from my own experience with this, and unfortunately this is not the case because not every county and not every state does things the same way, but I can tell you if everybody was doing it the way that my county does it, there wouldn't have been any voter issues in 2020. We did not have drop boxes. We do not hire people to count our votes. The vote counting is handled specifically by elected officials at the county level. And that adds a layer of security because if there's any impropriety and it's caught, guess who not get elected to that office again? None of them were connected to internet. The machines that we use are hardened. There is no third-party vendor interference in our machine software. And the only thing that plugs into our machine software is a power cord. All counts from all of our districts in my area are pulled off the machines at the end of the night by a USB stick. That USB stick is then taken by the election judge on scene directly to our voting station at the county level, where it is then put into another non-network machine in order for them to pull all the voting tabulation data off all the sticks from the entire county. At the end of that, and by the way, any of those USB sticks that are tampered with, they flag. And they let you know there's a problem and it's been tampered with. At the end of that, one file then is taken to a network computer where it is transmitted to our Department of State. There's no progress updates here. It is one file transfer at the end of the night. Period.
Well,
unfortunately, it does not happen the same way everywhere.
And
we had
no
election issues.
It truly is very, very unfortunate because I was doing a show that night, and in real time, I am watching the results during the show, and it was unbelievable that how the numbers were changing because Donald Trump was declared winners in all these states, and then the news media counts Joe Biden or calls Joe Biden the winner, and because let's say Donald Trump had 77%, and then Joe Biden had 68%, and they were calling Joe Biden the winner in that particular state was
no,
unreal
that,
to me.
But most swing states paused counting.
And again, Fox is not your friend because Fox News did the same exact thing. But I'm
called
watching
Arizona.
This again, like I said, I'm watching this in real time while doing the show. And I could not believe what I was seeing. I was totally, completely dumbfounded. How can this be? And it happened all around the United States. It was just, and Joe Biden got 81 million votes on the contra, mon frere.
The evidence is coming out. 2,000 mules is coming out within, like, I think by May. And this rigged where it documents the Zuckerberg money. That's out now.
Okay, but what will become of that, though? Will they just say the whole, let's go back to 2020, that election, 2020, and now Donald Trump is the real president?
Well, different ones are talking about rescinding, you know, their decertifying. There's different swing states right now that are talking about decertifying.
Do
and
you really
other
think...
states in those that have tried to do things to clean this crap up.
Do you really think that it will happen? That something is going to come of it? You know, I'm such a doubter in the system because it has proven time after time after time that it's just an illusion.
Do I think that anybody's going to have to pay the piper on this? I'm not convinced of that. But,
you know,
it has generated enough outrage and push from the public. We're enabled during this pandemic are being rolled back.
See, this is what...
It's a step forward, at least.
This is what people have to... People, you like I said, turn off those television programming boxes, okay? Just stop watching that shit. Because that's what
it is.
Shit.
This is why you have to get involved.
You know,
you know?
Yes, definitely.
You can't depend on the ones that are already there.
You
if we could depend on the ones that were already there, this stuff wouldn't have happened.
That freak, you know, the mass murderer. Oh, gosh. You thought Jamestown was a nightmare? What about the planned scamdemic around the world? And who's at the helm of it all? Anthony friggin' Fauci. Okay, that little piece of shit, that mass murderer.
But he's just
is,
a cock.
He's now, wait. He's now saying that there's a new variant, and he's suggesting people going back to wearing masks in their houses. If you guys
that we should be open to the possibility that we might have to go backwards instead of forward. Yeah, no.
Okay. See, you have to pick up on these keywords. He uses the word possibility. That isn't a 100%.
No, but it's
okay.
A telegraph. He's telegraphing his moves.
Okay. Yes, you are right, James. But it isn't stating fact. This is where people, you know, you get, okay, just like, okay, the gay bill. Even friggin' Solisaki is calling it the gay bill.
Yep.
Like I said, there not once is the word gay involved in that anti-grooming bill. Okay, and you have Solisaki, that would be Jen, on TV calling it the anti-gay bill.
Which it's not.
She is, oh my gosh, she is the spokesperson for Joe Biden. And she is miswording it also. So people are listening to this Chucky, and they're holding on to every word that this demon seed is spewing out of her evil mouth.
And not a single one of them is going to Florida's website where they can read the bill in entirety. It's like seven pages long.
Exactly. Exactly. You have you're believing what Hellboy Ron Perlman telling you. You're believing those alley cats from the Oscars, you know, anti-gay bill.
And Disney.
Yeah. This is so bizarre how many people are so brainwashed. That's how come I played the clip from Eric Holder, because he outright stated, we have to brainwash the people. So he's getting clergy involved. He's getting Congress involved. He's getting actors. He's getting them all. He's pulling out all the stops to brainwash you people.
Well,
you have
if
to
you
listen.
Want,
you have
if
to
you
listen.
Want to give me,
to what,
if you want to give me the next 30 minutes, I'll try to line it out for people.
You know what? Go for it, James. Sorry about that.
That's fine. I think I can do it. I'm not going to be able to pause as much to give you input, though.
You know,
it's
okay. Just do your thing. But give me like 3 minutes before
yeah.
we close out the show.
I think we might have more time than that. But this is something that I put together. It's about 7 pages long. It's online on my website as well, but I'm not going to tell you where it is. There's nothing else. Eva can post the link. I tagged her in it earlier.
I will post it.
Hopefully with this, this will help people understand a lot more about what's going on today and why. World domination and control did not die with the likes of Genghis Khan, Attila the Hun, and Napoleon. The powerful and influential have always thought they know what is best for humanity and have little care for understanding what the common individual thinks in the matter. With society, culture, and diplomacy, the rules merely changed and became less bloody in nature. World domination is no longer through physical means and the bloodshed of wars. It is now through propaganda, open border mass migration, and the mental manipulation of our world population. Want to truly understand what's going on in America today and why? We have to look into history and certain historical happenings of the world. Many conclude the New World Order is the issue, but few understand what it is, where it came from, the tools it uses, and obtaining goals or argue about is behind it all. What's more alarming is how this ideology, since its inception, is the root of hundreds of millions of deaths all over the world. We're not just talking 6 million deaths like the Jews of Germany. We're talking death in the magnitude of tens of millions, culminating in hundreds of millions worldwide to date. Despite this, the left will clamor that it's never been done right, still thinking the attempt is apparently worth many more potential millions of deaths throughout the globe. Again, because of human nature and the corruption of absolute power, this ideology will never bring about a peaceful and free world. What they ignore is human nature and the way this ideology deals with it. We see it through cancel culture here in America. Human nature, when agreeing with their chosen ideology, is completely fine. However, human nature that thinks differently, and this will always be the case, is othered, dehumanized, ridiculed, attacked, and crushed, both in reputation and ability in obtaining income for survival. It's just different means of suppression, crushing, and attempts at killing off those who think differently. Freedom as we know it. It's limited freedom based upon their accepted norms and political rhetoric. This is their way of dealing with human nature instead of the mass graves used by their predecessors. Understand, should they ever obtain the power they seek, mass graves will potentially return, riddled with the bodies of those who think differently and those they deem threatening to their utopian ideology. Just like the mass graves at the hands of the Bolsheviks, the Nazis, the Chinese communists, Cuba, etc. To be clear, New World Order was, is, and always will be a form of Marxist interpretation. It's based upon a utopian world that does not exist and never can exist because of human nature. It's a world where complete control of the people makes sure everyone is taken care of, but not in the way the individual deems they need taken care of, but how the state thinks they should be taken care of. It is loss of individual rights and the ability to think for self, forever forfeiting our rights to reach for the stars and drive our own destiny. It is an ideology that preys upon the goodness of people while hiding the dark undertones used in obtaining continued emphasis of freedom where an all-powerful government entity controls people in the world. The same government tells people what is right and wrong. It tells what freedom is and what it is not. It invades every bit of privacy to supposedly protect people from themselves. It tells them what is moral and immoral, and by extension, what is justified and what is not. And they will always pledge that what they do is in the best interest of the people. This is not new. We've seen this before, and we see it now in the United States. It runs rampant through Democratic-controlled areas, through lockdowns, what the state deems essential workers, mask and vaccine mandates, lawlessness, generating fear, etc. What is Marxist ideology? It is an ideology born from the fever dreams of a lazy man that thought all things should be handed to him and that it was society's fault that he could not live life the way he wanted to live. His writing is nothing but justifications for his failed choices and laziness. To quote W. Cleon Skousen in The Naked Communist, Marx required two things. First, the total annihilation of all opposition, the downfall of all existing governments, all economies, and all societies. Then, he wrote, us shall stride through the wreckage of creators. The second thing he needed was a new kind of human being. Skousen further defines Marx. He visualized a regimented breed of Pavlovian men whose minds could be triggered into immediate action by signals from their masters. He wanted a race of men who would no longer depend upon free will, ethics, morals, or conscience for guidance. Perhaps without quite realizing it, Marx was setting out to create a race of human beings conditioned to think like criminals. Communism, socialism, democratic socialism, and Nazism are all forms of Marxist interpretation. In Russia, it was the Kulaks, an ethnicity and landowner's class. In Germany, it was the Jews, an ethnicity and land or business owner class. In old China, it was the landowners. In present-day China, it's the Uyghurs. In present-day Canada, it's the truckers. In present-day United States, it's the conservatives, Christians, veterans, and others. What do we see in the leadership of Russia, China, Canada, Cuba, Venezuela, North Korea, Vietnam, and other Marxist nations? What do we see here in the United States through BLM, Antifa, social media oligarchs, and cancel culture? Understand that just like the Kulaks of Russia, the Jews of Germany, and the landowners of China, or the Uyghurs of China today, should the Marxists gain full power, anyone challenging their ideologies will become Kulaks, Jews, landowners, Uyghurs, conservatives, etc. They establish the enemy through othering and dehumanization and then label their opponents as one of them. Moral relativism is at the root of Marxist ideology along with dialectical materialism and using victimhood in obtaining political power. The Marxists learned long ago that children and the young were the target vectors for their ideology. They prey upon the minds of those with the least life experience and their idealistic nature. They prey upon the ignorance of the kind-hearted. They also realized that convincing the workers they were oppressed and mistreated was beneficial to their world domination agenda. Then, with the help of Hitler and Gramsci, they realized that identity politics could be a powerful manipulation tool. This is why Marxist ideology always starts with the infection of the workers through the union, and then moves to students through study groups, and then the corruption of higher education. Eventually, it leads to youth in things like Hitler's Youth and China's Red Guard. This is why they now push CRT and other Marxist-related indoctrination into our grade schools. It is ironic the rise of Hitler and the need of Jews to flee Germany hastened what has befallen the United States. The initial infection point comes to us from the Frankfurt School of Germany, and the Marxist Jews fleeing Hitler's Germany. They arrived here at Columbia University, and the first accomplished goal was infecting academics with critical theory, progenitor of every gender and racial study degree known to Americans. Breitbart described it as the eternal criticism of the fabric that holds America together. From there, they used critical theory as a base infecting every social science degree known today. All of it accepts Marxist conclusions as fact instead of theory. Present-day Marxist ideology incorporates racial components. They live in a vacuum frozen in the time of racial injustices of decades ago. It is a suggestion that things have never changed. It is a divide and conquer approach having nothing to do with any kind of unification while driving victimhood that pits American against American. It's about sowing divide and hate between groups. It's about avoiding consequences of actions or inaction. It's about equity instead of equality. Equality assures a level playing field. Equity ensures outcomes and is excuse for all manner of government intrusion into private lives and excuse for the ever-expanding nature of the administrative state. In essence, it is help and excuse for government clawing its way, containing Bach's vision by our founding fathers, under the excuse of predetermined social outcomes instead of protecting individual rights. The unions have long been affected by Marxist manipulating members to obtain ever-increasing political power. Then, for union dues, they invest substantially in far-left Democrat candidates. We see this most clearly in the teachers' unions today. With the success of social science degree infection, they know if they can push their ideology into grade schools, they can create even younger Marxist indoctrinated minds. The goal of education is no longer educated minds for success, but rather activist social justice warriors for the future. Teaching, journalism, political science, foreign relations, environmental studies, law, social workers, psychiatry, and business management are just some of our social science degree fields. The Marxist indoctrination of these fields began in the 1940s. Today, that means we've had generations indoctrinated for decades in the past 80 years. As long as we allow Confucius centers in our colleges and the manipulation of China and the CCP in concert with Qatar and other Middle East nations as well, with their financial involvement with our colleges, we will continue seeing our youth pushed towards a Marxist worldview. This is why the majority of our youth with college degrees support socialism. This is why we have a two-tiered justice system. This is why the mainstream media toes the Democrat Party line. This is why DAs follow bail reforms, releasing predators back onto our streets. This is why climate change activists haven't correctly predicted one catastrophe since the 70s. They intentionally create the models to generate fear to push the bankrupting of national economies the world over. This is why Marxist politicians play identity politics. This is why corporations are so woke and censoring others while pushing for further loss of our freedoms. This is why foreign policy has given the communists China, North Korea, Vietnam, Venezuela, Cambodia, Afghanistan, and now potentially Ukraine. At the minimum, we have a China and Russia moving closer together in relationships. Where do solar panels come from? Where do the batteries for electric vehicles come from? What kind of precious minerals are now laid within reach of China through the Afghanistan debacle? What kind of precious minerals lay the leaked lands of Ukraine? What happens if China targets Taiwan, given the bulk of computer chips originating there, and given the fact that Biden has been releasing millions of barrels from our Federal Reserve meant to be used by our military forces in times of conflict? These things are all in danger of Marxist nation controls and some of our worst enemies in the world. Yet our left-leaning politicians do everything through foreign policy to embolden and financially strengthen these Marxist nations. Why would an American wish to strengthen our enemies on the world stage? If you can bankrupt the nation, then people will willingly clamor for socialism as a means of survival. The amount the United States needs to spend for the West Green Deal proves bankruptcy beast. If we consider this regime's failed policies and the inflation created, the destruction of our energy independence, what has that done to our economy? If you can break up families, you destroy the bedrock of American moral values. Incarcerate one or both parents, and you destroy the nuclear family. Confuse the children through gender issues as a means to create family tension, and again, you potentially destroy the nuclear family. Beyond the self-perpetuating system and the Marxist indoctrination of our youth, we have another self-perpetuating system that continues driving our large population centers to the far left. Most social science degree studies lead to white-collar-level jobs. Where do the bulk of white-collar jobs exist? That would be in larger population areas. who make the bulk, the majority of BLM and Antifa protests? Where do they protest? Wasn't in our larger cities that burned during the BLM and Antifa riots. Conservatives are less likely to go to college because of the large cash requirements, gravitating more towards trade jobs, which are blue-collar and exist in more rural-populated areas. Hence the reason that conservatives retain conservative views, as they are not indoctrinated for college-level education. It's not our rural areas that burn when the leftists riot. The Marxist biggest strategy relates to capturing things like institutions, unions, religion, and churches, education, and political parties. This offers a clue and explanation for many Blue Dog Kennedy Democrats not understanding how their party has left them. Long ago, the Marxists were already targeting their political parties. As a matter of fact, they dug their roots so deeply within the Democrat Party that by 1988, the Communist and Socialist parties in America were no longer running their own candidates for presidential office. They began endorsing Democrat nominees instead. By 1944, Norman Thomas, a six-time Socialist Party candidate president, made it quite clear that the Democrat Party was already. And he said, the American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened. I no longer need to run as a presidential candidate for the Socialist Party. The Democratic Party has adopted our platform. In 1948, 52, 88, 92, 96, 2000, 2004, 2008, and 2012, they endorsed Democrat Party presidential nominations. We all know how the nation ran with Bill Clinton and Barack Obama in the presidential office. We see more of the same under Biden and worse. Hillary had close ties to Saul Alinsky and was a Trotskyite. Trotsky's view of Marxism required constant conflict in maintaining Marxist control. We all know what kind of war hawk Hillary was and is. Now we have Jill and her close ties to the Marxist teachers' unions, and we see the influence there as well. When we look at the present fracturing of the Democrat Party enclaves like the Squad and those who support them, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and others, it's reminiscent of the split in the Russian Bolsheviks' communist state between Stalin, Lenin, and Trotsky. All the groups seemingly run a contest of who can push the party furthest left. Who fills the ranks of the Democrat Party, BLM, and Antifa? Middle-class liberals indoctrinated with Marxist ideologies, courtesy of their higher education, BLM proclaimed they were trained Marxists. Where'd the money go? If all this wasn't enough evidence of how deep the Marxist camps are infected our Democrat Party, then maybe the words of one of the highest of ranked Romanian communist defectors will. Lieutenant General Ion Mihai Pasipa lived in a communist bloc. These were his words well over 10 years ago. Any doubt that the Democratic and the Communist parties had secretly joined forces was erased in 2009 when Van Jones, part of a left fringe declared communist, became the White House's green jobs czar. The Democratic Party has become dangerously infected with the Marxism virus. I recognize the symptoms because I once lived through them, and I believe it is my obligation as an American citizen to help the conservative movement to prevent any further spread of Marxism in my adopted country. And Ion is not the only Soviet defector to make such claims relating to the Marxist infiltration of our institution. Yuri Bezmenov, a former KGB official defecting to Canada, also makes a case concerning Danzer's infiltration we all face. He says, around 1965, the KGB sought to undermine America's elementary schools. By now, three generations of teachers and students have been indoctrinated with subversive socialist ideology. This subversion went unchallenged by an increasing number of schools and teachers, which steadily sabotaged and now vilifies traditional American values. This goes back to the Marxist infiltration of Columbia University and critical theory. Remember, this is the inflection point for Marxist ideology and every social science study degree field that exists today. He further illustrates, as these students progressed to universities, they were not only unaware of the lies they'd been told, they were primed and receptive to higher level indoctrination of hatred for freedom, democracy, individual rights, limited constitutional government, free enterprise, etc. And once they graduated, they became the next generation of leaders in all segments of society. This ongoing process destabilized our society as these communist values clashed with those who still believe in the Constitution and its principles. The destabilization process was accelerated by also attacking religion, primarily Judaism and Christianity, and turning people's attention to personal, short-term gratification and human degradation of innumerable forms, largely through destroying the family, while the virtues of goal-setting, diligence, savings, and sobriety were gradually forgotten. And this is why we see the teachers' unions pushing things like critical race theory and the other things they keep trying to rename it to avoid detection, and why they historically keep endorsing and financially supporting Democrat Party politicians. Our teachers' unions continually push Marxist ideology and Marxist agenda. Manning Johnson, in his book Color Communism and Common Sense, further illustrates how the Marxists used the black minorities for political gains. He was a dedicated Marxist working within the communist groups pushing Marxist ideology and until he saw it for what it truly was. He talks about union infiltration and religious and church infiltration as well. Today, they use all minority groups, including LGBTQ+. It's all about victimization and using victimhood mentality, fueling the foot soldiers for Marxist ideological stage and political power. It's become the root enforcement for cancel culture as a means of removing independent thinkers and political opponents from all public squares. It's using the minority as a cudgel beating the majority into conformity. It's the emotional manipulation of the inert masses through outright lies, contextual omissions, false allegations, and hiding the full facts of the situation from public view. In consonance with that, we also have the gender ideology issue. Why would we want children under the age of 12 learning this stuff? Doesn't it sexualize our children in the process? It's also a way of confusing children. Growing up is difficult enough to begin with. What does this stuff do? Is it a way of sexualizing our children to make child trafficking easier? What does a child confusion do within the family? It's just another way to destroy the nuclear family from within, the same way they're trying to destroy the nation from within. What about the damage to child development through the mask mandates? How many horror stories have you heard about child protective services? Hint, those are social science degrees as well. The left, through regulations, laws, and policies, promote things that insulate corporations from competition. Like most other things, government lobbyists push things benefiting their clients. These things, business studies, are known as barriers to entry. It creates bloat for a company wishing to do business and makes it financially impossible for many new business startups. As such, landscape discourages competition. That's bad for consumers. It also ensures a less controlled business through the corporate culture already established through social science degrees and the numbers of business management social degree holding employees. This ensures even Marxist control of business sectors. It also slows down our economy. It's not corporations that employ the majority workers. It's small business sectors that keep our economy moving, providing the bulk of jobs families depend on. War and conflict are also means of destroying economies, forcing migration, and suggesting open borders for the people caught in the middle of the conflict. It also becomes a way of more easily moving terrorists into other nations. During COVID, it's been a means of moving the infected in areas to infect more. This all goes back to their population agendas. Beyond population agendas associated with migration, it's also a way of changing the local culture and the voting pattern. This goes back to their ideology of multiculturalism. It's just another way of dramatically transforming a nation, diluting the citizens' values and beliefs. We see this prominently in the migration from blue states to red states because of financial warfare on the citizenry through taxation, mandates, inflation, and stagflation. All these tools are part of the Marxist ways of destroying the middle class, bringing about a two-tiered class system like Russia before the Bolshevik Revolution. The focus then becomes the person making more money than the rest and how they should pay their fair share. The problem, none of them define what fair share means. This is just another means of pitting American against American. It generates hatred, which the Marxists then use as manipulating masses against one another. Remember Alinsky's 13th rule of tactics and polarization? With the Marxists, it's never about reality or the original words or the actions of an opponent. It's about the Marxist interpretation of the opponent and the straw man they create to attack. Again, Alinsky's 13th rule of tactics. Contextual omission is the biggest tool in portraying political enemies in negative light. They prey upon the ignorance of people, their lack of time to review everything the Marxists interpret and claims. Their methods are half-truth, contextual omission, outright lies, gaslighting, and manipulated polls and studies. They're the most disingenuous people we'll ever meet. Them are moral relativists. As such, they are morally bankrupt. Anything moving their agendas closer to their movement's goal, completion is moral to them. Even that includes lies and manipulation. They drive the herd and manipulate the mob to action, just like Saul Alinsky described in his book, Rules for Radicals, a practical primer for realistic radicals. His tactics, Rule 13, is pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. In Alinsky's day, it was an opponent. Today, it is groups of people not subscribing to Marxist ideologies or those otherwise seen as threats opposing Marxist ideologies. The concept is simple. Division through freezing and polarization. Ever wonder why today's society seems so polarized? They espouse unity and tolerance, but it's really capitulation, full acceptance of the world order and beliefs. If you doubt that, then simply look at how they treat those who disagree with them. Cancel culture provides plenty of examples of this fact and a ruthless pursuit in silencing others. Sorry.
That's fine. I did post that on my page, my Facebook page, so if anybody wants to take a gander at it, feel free to share it.
That's the what's in house.
You know, James, we did not touch on the big news story. Who's going to be owning Twitter?
I really hope. He's opening himself up to so much shit, though.
No, you know they actually, I think it's a good thing, and because he is allegedly okay, he's part of the problem too. Okay, any you know he's all about transhumanism and shit like that. So I'm against that, but he is, as far as I can tell, he is pro First Amendment. And they're already, from what I gather, he stepped into the first board meeting today, and they're shaking in their boots already. If you don't know what we're talking about
9% of Twitter stock now owned by Elon Musk.
Yeah, so Elon Musk is
the
going
largest,
to make...
He's the largest owner of stock.
He's going to make a big, big difference because he went roundy round with Jack Dorsey and all the insignificance at Twitter and
I read something today that supposedly part of the reason he's doing this is because I think he likes Babylon Bee. And they're satire.
You know, he does. He does.
And he wanted to verify that they actually got canceled.
He's been on the Babylon Bee. And I actually saw the interview, and it was an excellent interview. And Babylon Bee is a Christian-owned networking platform.
Satire.
And it's full of satire. But... which is, and again, it's one of that truth satires. They bring humor to it. And they were...
like those guys that go to the town council meeting.
Right, exactly. Right. But we are running out of time here. So I want to thank everybody. Thank you, James, for co-hosting with me. Next week, I'm going to start a series of survival ditties, along with government shenanigans. But so tune in next week. James, if you're available, I appreciate your help. God bless everybody. Have a beautiful tomorrow, and we'll catch you on the flip side at night, everybody.